Small Biz America. Brain. Kelly Cutler is the co-founder and CEO of Marcel Media. The company is a Chicago-based strategic interactive advisory firm that delivers world-class SEO, SEM, social media, and analytics solutions to clients. The company's evolved into one of Inc.'s 5,000 fastest-growing private companies, servicing well-known clients such as Ryland Holmes, HUB International, University of Southern California, and North Shore University Health System. Kelly's been noted or quoted in Crain Chicago Business, the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, Entrepreneur Magazine, MSN, The Register out of the UK, Startup Nation, and Direct Marketing News and Inc. Magazine. Joining us on the line from Marcel Media headquarters in Chicago and with some great tips on SEO and more is Kelly Cutler. Kelly, welcome to the Small Biz Brain.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So just to lay the groundwork, Kelly, tell us about the creation of your company, Marcel Media. How did this come about?
Essentially, back in the year 2002, 2003, a lot of people were asking me how they get on that thing called Google. Which is pretty funny to think about these days when you sort of can't even, you know, get away from Google.
Right.
So I decided that I was going to figure it out. I didn't really know how, but at the time I saw a real opportunity. The sort of basic, you know, sort of idea of somebody going online doing a search, you know, where they're actually looking for information and connecting them with an advertiser or a company who can answer those questions and sort of fill those needs really seemed to make sense to me from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
So that's where Marcel Media came from. We started in February 2003, so we're right at our six-year anniversary.
Prior to founding the company, what were you up to?
Right before I founded Marcel Media, I was at a tiny little company called America Online that a lot of people have heard of. And prior to that, worked with several different online marketing companies.
In the broadest sense, what do most small business owners with business-focused websites miss in terms of properly implementing SEO?
I think the biggest challenge with a really successful SEO campaign is knowing all of the different aspects that sort of fall into a well-thought-out SEO effort. A lot of people think, oh, well, if I just have a lot of content on my site, that'll be enough. And a lot of other people think, as long as my title tags are really long and include keywords, that'll be enough.
Mm.
And there are other people who think, as long as I just have a lot of links to my site, that'll be enough. The answer is, you know, no one tactic is going to achieve a really good, solid SEO campaign. It's a combination of many different things. And I think the most important aspect of SEO is working with somebody who really does understand that and who's really focused on SEO. So it's not a marketing, you know, technique, and it's not an IT technique. It sort of falls somewhere in the middle. And I think a lot of people miss that.
Okay. You have six tips for transitioning your SEO strategy into a new website. Tell me about the transition word. What are you meaning here?
Sure. So what we've found over the last year or two is happening quite a bit is people are saying, hey, I came out with this website in the late 90s or the early 2000s, and, you know, it's sort of brochureware, and it's not, you know, a lot of buzzwords are out there in terms of Web 2.0
right.
and collaboration and things like that, and my site's just not, it's not there. So what they're doing is they're transitioning to a new website. Oftentimes, they're just migrating it to a new platform, a .NET or a newer sort of technology.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, they're integrating with a content management system. Other times, they're doing a complete redesign and a new platform. But whatever the case is, we want to make sure that we are very focused on keeping the SEO that they currently have while also continuing to build on that SEO. Continuity is a big part of it. Most of our clients that have had websites for a long time have a Google PageRank. And what that signifies is they are being indexed by Google, which means that they are getting organic search traffic that they may or may not even know is happening. But, you know, the worst mistake they can make is to, you know, build a new site that doesn't allow for the transition of that SEO and that that Google PageRank to their new site, because they'll lose all of that organic search traffic if they launch a site that's in Flash or has frames or things like that that
sure.
sort of block search engines, right off the bat. Less extreme examples are when they just launch a site and they don't even think about SEO, and they might still have some of that PageRank and some of that search traffic, but they're not building on it. They're not improving. And I can guarantee in most industries that we're familiar with, competition continues to, get out there and launch new sites, and you have more competition than ever, and they're going to be engaging in these types of marketing efforts if you're not. So there's a chance to sort of miss the boat.
Maybe this would be a good time to walk through the six tips that you have in terms of implementing SEO strategy.
That would be great.
So taking number one, domain name changes.
So, you know, it's very important to understand how your domain names fit into your overall SEO strategy, and really you need an expert to do that. Like I said earlier, you know, SEO does not really fall into a neat column on an org chart. It's not necessarily marketing and it's not necessarily IT. Mm. A good SEO company will be able to merge those two kind of areas and will really be able to bring you the best of both worlds, both from an IT perspective, which is sort of where the domain situation falls, and the marketing perspective. Mm. And I think domain names are very, very important, and it really depends on the breadth of your site, what content management system you're using, and those types of things. But if you do something that's not SEO beneficial with your domain names on your new site, you stand the chance to lose a lot of traffic.
Wow. Number two is file name and platform changes.
So when you change file names for new sites, and a lot of people when they do transition to a new site are looking to create a database for all their content. A lot of sites when they originally started, just sort of added new pages to the site but didn't really have a good structure behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Maybe there was no database to begin with.
Wow.
And what happens is they want to streamline it from a sort of internal perspective. So a lot of those file names get changed and then they're not as easy to read from Google and from different search engine robots and spiders.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another area where, you know, you definitely want to have an expert who's sort of charging, that cause.
Let's talk about templates.
Templates are very important also from an SEO perspective because a lot of times several of the SEO components will be compartmentalized within a template. So you really want to make sure that your templates are up to par with what you are trying to do from an SEO perspective. It's not all, you know, just about the look and feel. And oftentimes, you know, some of the SEO techniques that are utilized will not impact the look and feel of your site at all. But it's just important to have the right coding mechanisms in place on the back end and to have the right title tags, which oftentimes are templated throughout the site. And there's a lot of ways to automate this, but you really want to make sure it's done efficiently.
Thanks, Kelly. SEO, the migration piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you actually sort of flip the switch, really what you're doing is you're telling, you know, all of the different places on the web to go to a new address,
right,
to find your website than where they used to go. It's sort of like if you move, you know, your home to a new address, you have to register that with the U.S. Postal Service so that they know where to forward your mail to. Very similar from a website perspective. And again, you know, it's very important to make sure that this is done the right way. What we have found from time to time is that some of our clients or folks who have called us afterwards, you know, what they've done is they haven't set up the DNS properly so that Google can then find the new site. And this can cause a lot of confusion. Sometimes the old site is still being cached. There can be a lot of issues that arise from that. So it's really important to make sure that's done the right way.
Okay, cool. Getting into media here, flash and frames, you have some rules about that.
So, you know, a lot of people are coming to us lately, particularly, and saying, hey, you know, Adobe came out with this new new flash technique that's supposedly, you know, totally, you know, transparent and readable by Google. And
yeah,
that's true and that's great. However, a flash website is not a good idea for search engine optimization. It's just a bad idea. It's a roadblock.
When you say flash, I'm sorry to interrupt. When you say flash website, Kelly, are you talking about flash contained within the structure of a website or something different?
That's exactly the point I want to make, is that embedded flash objects within your website are terrific. Having an entire website that is flash is a bad idea.
Okay.
And the way to kind of think about this is if when you type in a URL or when you find a site on an internet, you know, search, and you click on that site, if you're literally watching a movie the entire time you're on that site, it's a flash site. And it is more than likely completely invisible from an SEO perspective. That doesn't mean it won't show up on Google if you type in the name of the company,
mm-hmm,
but what it means is the interior pages don't even exist because they're all patched together into a movie. Whereas what you want is you want to have content that's indexed page by page within Google. So if somebody types in one of your products or services, or if they saw a press release and they identify with that, that they can find that particular page within your site.
Okay.
And that allows Google to actually read those interior pages. If you have embedded flash movies or embedded flash objects, you know, demonstrations, those types of things within your pages, that's terrific, and we definitely encourage that.
And there are ways to code for that to make them SEO friendly, correct?
There are, and it kind of comes back to some of the things we were talking about earlier in terms of making sure that assets are named properly, that files have a good structure in place. You know, those types of things are going to be really important from an SEO perspective, and that's really where an SEO expert should be involved. We create digital asset libraries for all of our clients so that they have a very good understanding about what all the assets are that they have on their site, how those are named, how they're being indexed, and what kind of traffic we're seeing because of that. Another big thing with Google is universal search, where these days if you do a search, let's say, for a movie title because you're interested in buying the DVD, you will be returned with not only, you know, where can I buy the DVD, but also images from that particular movie, potentially videos, PDFs, you know, white papers, critics' reports. You'll get a variety of different assets, whereas in the past you would just have received a laundry list of websites with information regarding that movie or book title.
Okay, thanks, Kelly. That's great stuff. You had some additional items to remember. Number six, don't forget to add Google Analytics code across redesigned or migrated pages.
Very important. You know, most of us at this point are using Google Analytics as a web tracking tool. If we're not using that, we really should be, because it's free and it's a really excellent way to gauge what's happening with traffic once it gets to your website, which is a way to really plan for the future in terms of how you're going to change your site, where it makes sense to invest within your site. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking at different product lines that seem to sell more online or seem to drive more leads online, yeah, it makes sense to invest in continuing to build that out. So that might mean, you know, demos or videos or you know, creating more photographs or case studies or testimonials, those types of things. So Google Analytics is key, and oftentimes what happens is our clients will change their website, they'll transition to a new website, or they'll add new pages, and they forget to include that Google Analytics code across the new sites. Another important thing is if you're engaging in a search engine marketing or any type of marketing program, if your URLs change because you have changed to a new website or you've transitioned to a new website, you want to make sure all of your marketing campaigns are driving traffic to those new pages. And oftentimes, unfortunately, clients are alerted that, you know, because Google will actually pull down your ads if they're going to a page that's broken or a 404 error message. And that's how our clients realize, oh, whoops, I forgot to change and update all the URLs within my marketing. So, you know, Google Analytics is key, making sure the marketing URLs are proper, and also, you know, looking at things like Google Webmaster Tools, which will, again, you know, give you some great information about overall, you know, tracking of your website, things like broken links, you know, looking at sitemaps and how those are indexed by Google and those types of things.
I'm not a tech guy, as you probably know, but I've encountered analytics tools like Urchin. Are there other kinds of analytics tools that do this differently than Google?
Definitely, and it's funny that you mentioned Urchin. Urchin is actually the company that Google bought and has been sort of morphing into what we now commonly use as Google Analytics. Now, the original Urchin product actually still exists, and I highly recommend that people invest in that. It's relatively inexpensive, but it's a great backup to Google Analytics, which obviously is a free product, and because of that, there's little to no support, which makes you know, some advertisers and companies very nervous, because they, you know, they sort of don't know, well, what if, you know, Google decides to shut off this program, or what if they decide to charge for it? All of those types of fears that exist. I think Urchin is a great backup for that.
Okay.
But to answer your question, there are other programs as well, things like Web Trends and ClickTracks and a host of others.
What are the distinctions between them in the broad sense?
You know, the biggest change, or the biggest difference, I should say, between most of these different tools are some are cookie-based and some are log file-based.
Okay.
And, you know, what that really means is, is it specific information that comes directly from the log files of my website, and log files are created by all the activity that takes place on the website.
So it's right off your server then.
Cookie-based, which means that there's some level of filtration going on, usually in a good way in the case of Google Analytics, which is cookie-based.
Okay, so filters that make the information more accurate.
Exactly.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And, you know, there are ways to filter on your own with cookie-based services like Google Analytics. So you can, you know, one of my clients has 10,000 employees, and we're able to strip out that traffic when we're looking from a marketing perspective, so it's a much cleaner set of data. Cookie-based programs also typically will remove spiders and robots that come from search engines that are not actual users, which makes that data even more clean.
We're visiting with Kelly Cutler. She's the co-founder of Marcel Media. That website, www.marcelmedia.com. Has SEO changed over the years? I mean, the approach to doing all of this since you've been involved?
Absolutely. You know, one of the biggest changes I've seen in the 6 years or so that we've been kind of engaging in SEO Originally, it was all about content, and I can't tell you how many times I spoke at different events, or I was in, you know, different roundtables and different meetings with clients where I was, you know, really trying to let people know was, you know, content is king. Please, you know, continue to write, continue to add to your sites. And now, content is still important, but we are finding that off-page SEO is as important, if not more important, than on-page SEO. And the distinction there is between sort of the words on the page and the way things are named and the URLs, the things you can control within your website, are what we refer to as on-page SEO. And off-page SEO are all of the things that are happening in the internet and in the world outside of our website. So how many, you know, good quality websites are linking to us? What is our engagement with social media? How are we making sure that our content is being syndicated across the web? How are we engaging different websites to interact with us, whether from a blog networking standpoint or a social bookmarking standpoint, or just, you know, sharing inbound links? Those types of things are becoming more and more crucial to a well-rounded SEO campaign.
Oh, cool. And it continues to change then, of course, right?
The approach every day.
Okay, so we're sitting together in February of 2009, most difficult period in terms of the economy. How do you suggest business owners manage through this transition?
Well, I think that there are, you know, sort of two ways to look at the scenario that we're in right now, and it really boils down to the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. And I really try to take the optimistic approach. I think that this is a very difficult time for our nation and for most of our companies. But I think the opportunity exists to really, you know, hone in and make your marketing efforts more tight, more targeted, and really sort of more efficient. And I think the web is the number one way to do that. We have several clients right now who are looking at $8 and $10 million advertising budgets and understanding that they're spending about 1%, if that, of that budget online, and they're seeing a shift.
Unbelievable.
And they're saying, we're going to slice that budget in half, and at the same time, we're going to take 40% of it and put it online, or 25% of it and put it online. And I think that's a smart decision. I think when things are tough, you have to, you know, you have to look at it from a different perspective, and you have to really understand the long-term goals as well as the short-term goals, and really understand how to manage those two sort of objectives, whether they're short-term or long-term, in a way that is going to become more efficient.
Do you sense
that? I think the web's the best way to do that.
Do you sense that after this dislocation occurs, that any of those dollars might shift back to traditional media, or do you think the dislocation is really setting the stage for a very new period in advertising?
I don't think traditional advertising is ever going to go away, and I don't recommend that companies completely remove themselves from that, depending, again, on what their objectives are. But I think from a brand perspective, you do need to be in front of your audience in a lot of different ways. And I think, you know, what's happening is the internet is becoming a place that people spend more and more time with. Broadband, you know, is up through the ceiling. You know, almost everyone has broadband to a certain extent, whether it's at the office or at home or both. And people are engaging in interactive in a much different way than they ever used to. I mean, folks are watching television shows on their laptops. They're downloading movies, you know, to their laptops. They're just engaging in a totally different way. And I think as marketers, we're really behind in terms of understanding how to utilize that new media and that new relationship that people have with the internet in a way that's effective for our brands. And I think, you know, we will continue to put brand messages out, you know, on television when it makes sense. I think what we're going to see, though, is much more targeted advertising. I think we've already seen that in the last year or so. The television stations, the radio stations, the newspapers, you know, they're a little bit slower to make some of these transitions, but I think you can see that even more now. When you watch a sporting event on television, you're going to see ads that are targeting, you know, men of a certain demographic and those types of things, whereas in the past it was much more broad in terms of those advertising channels. So I think there is a change going on, but I don't think that people are going to shift and say, well, in a tough economy, I'm going to move money to the internet, and then when that's over, I'm going to, you know, stick that back into some of these, you know, these giant pipelines. I think they're going to really kind of look at marketing from a whole new perspective, which will have some staying power.
Great stuff, Kelly. Thanks for such a content-rich segment. Our guest has been Kelly Cutler. She's the co-founder and CEO of Marcel Media. That website, www.marcelmedia.com. Kelly, thanks for joining us on The Brain.
Thank you. It was great to be with you.
Small Biz America. The Brain. This podcast is produced by Small Biz America.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.